another edition of the False Cast, brought to you by the False Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. For today, Sunday, December 19th, it apparently snowed last night.
It's cold.
It did snow, like a little dusting. I was surprised.
Little tiny ice pellets.
Mm-hmm.
We're here with some of our favorite False Casters, including Cassie McMenemy.
Hello.
We've got Mike and Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. And I still hate you, Alex.
That's going to be a long gag reel to go through. Yes. You know that, Mike?
Yes.
Can't wait for it.
I fucking loathe you, Alex.
Oh. Oh, man. That took it up a notch.
It went dark. It got dark.
We've got Jennifer and Stephen Mulay.
Howdy doodly do.
Whoa. Hello, and I love you,
Alex. It is way too early for that.
Yeah.
That's 3 cups of coffee and some, like, candy.
Woohoo! We are on. Let's get this done quick. She's going to crash really soon.
She'll be snoring.
I'll be snoring.
Catching flies.
On today's False Cast, we will have Alex's interview with Jesse Keller from Iron Ink Tattoo Shop.
He's good enough to do an interview, but not good enough to sit with us to do the podcast. It's cool.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Are you?
No.
Are you? Are you? The hate spreads.
It's like
it says, I hate you, Alex. Mike, is anyone infect everyone with this anti-Alex?
You know what? My mom said never to say you hate anybody, just to say you dislike somebody. So you can just say, I dislike you very, very strongly. Very, very strongly. No. Just kidding. We know that he is busy and stuff, so we do appreciate his interview.
Do we?
Yes.
Do we?
We do.
Well, I never listen to the interviews anyway, so I'm not listening.
Wow.
I'm like 40 episodes back on the interviews. I'm like, man, I gotta listen.
That's a lot of episodes.
I'm just here for the chit chat.
I don't listen to any of it because I hate hearing myself talk. That's a big part of it.
Well, we hate hearing you talk too, Steve. No, I'm kidding. We enjoy you, Steve.
I wouldn't surprise me if I start getting hate mail at some point.
Oh, man. Happy holidays, everybody. We're in a good spirit.
Happy does.
Oh, man. Maybe we shouldn't talk about things before we get onto the podcast. We had a long conversation beforehand that got us cranky.
Sorry, Bart.
Consider that warm up to get us ready.
It is warm up.
It's the green room.
Well, speaking of warming up, we would love to see submissions of your own work. Also, we would love to hear suggestions for people to interview, just like Jesse Keller. So if you have any of those, or you'd like to send your feedback on what you think of the show, you can get a hold of us on our Facebook page or at our email address. Suzanne?
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
Can leave a review on whatever podcast catcher you use. Also, the 12 Films of Christmas series is winding down.
Boo.
Die Hard.
Aww.
Die Hard.
Hey, Mike, you haven't even put in your favorite Christmas movie in that form.
Yeah, you're fired.
Yeah.
No, you can't speak on this topic.
Quiet it down there over there.
Do the work, buddy.
Sunken ditch.
Busted.
If you guys would like to let us know what your favorite movies are, you can follow the link in the show notes and let me know. You've basically got until the 22nd. I am extending extending my time because I know it won't take long to post.
All right. 3 days. Get it in.
Also, please get vaccinated with the way things are going right now.
Yes.
You really need to.
Yes. Please just get vaccinated. Oh, my goodness. Mike got his booster yesterday. He's feeling kind of run down a little bit, but he got the flu shot and the booster at the same time. I mean, who does that?
Yeah. Not the smartest individual.
Yeah.
It's safe.
My dad did that, one in each arm.
And he didn't even get any reaction, so that tells you how fucked up his immune system is. It's like,
I don't feel any normal. I don't feel any different, yeah.
I don't feel any normal.
I don't feel any normal.
He has one antibody.
I make him wear a mask everywhere we go. So
I bet, yeah.
He doesn't go anywhere anyway.
He doesn't.
Well, Mike had him on the same arm, and it's funny because it's right on his, like, gargoyle tattoo or something, and it's on its head. I feel sad for him.
Oh,
I know.
He's going to grow a horn.
He's got two on there already.
Oh, he can have three. That'll be his COVID horn, his extra COVID eye.
His extra COVID eye. Open your third eye.
Oh, man.
And finally, we always encourage our readers and listeners to shop local if you are going out.
Yes. If.
Yes.
Wear your mask if you do.
Did anybody patronize anywhere local this week? That was cool.
I did. I went to Jenks Building. I went to the social department.
Oh, yeah.
I love their t-shirts.
I haven't been there yet. I need to get over there.
Go in there. They have such awesome shirts.
T-shirts are awesome.
They are awesome.
Oh, I have
They're so uber local.
Yeah, uber local.
What
uber
did you get, Kathy?
Well, I can't. It's,
oh, is it a present?
Oh.
But, you know, I love the Jenks people, and I love their building.
Yeah. They're
it is really awesome.
It's just such a cool place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got something there for a gift exchange. It was really hard to stay within our, you know, $20. I did go over a little bit.
Oh, big spender. I hope I get the present then.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll fight you guys for it.
It wasn't a lot over, but, you know, a couple of dollars here.
Mm-hmm.
And then social department, I got two shirts. T-shirts were actually like $25, but you got a discount if you got two.
Okay.
I think they have a frequent buyer card, too.
Where you buy really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a punch card. Maybe you get a free t-shirt if you buy 10 or something.
Is it all just local stuff, or what kind of other
it's
t-shirts
Northeast
do they
Ohio,
have?
Akron, okay. You know, Bigfoot stuff, beer
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Far.
Like, Valley.
Yeah, I've
Valley,
got
and then, but Indians and Browns.
Yeah,
and,
lots
know.
Of local yeah. stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cuyahoga Valley National Park t-shirts. Yeah.
And they do have less expensive t-shirts, too. They do have like a $10 bin or something, I think, or 15, which I didn't look through there. But
where is the social department? Isn't that on with
it's right? Hatchet? It's right next door to the
Hi-Ho.
Hi-Ho. Yeah, right, okay. Okay. All right. So you can go get some beer and go get some t-shirts.
Beer.
Beer. If you're a good boy, maybe I will take you there, Mike.
Ooh, beer.
They have a lot of beer t-shirts, too. Beer oriented and crafty.
Nice.
We went to Oh So Sweet. Got some yummies and Nosh, and I think that's
and Lucci's Pizza.
Oh yeah, we got Lucci's, and yeah.
Anything else? Oh, and Mark and Philly's.
Oh yeah, Mark and Philly's. This yeah, that was Friday night. I was eating and drinking my sorrows away Friday night. So
I had. Oh. I think I drank 16 ounce beers at 7.1. ABV. I was hammered.
Yeah. Nice. I drank three and I did go to bed, but I didn't sleep well, so boo.
Ate a bunch of bad food, drank a bunch of bad beer, and played cards.
Yeah, that was it.
It was a good night there.
Yeah. It was.
I think the most that I really went this week was Raising Cane's yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Raising Cane's.
We tried to go yesterday. The line was wrapped around. We said, hell no.
Yeah.
I was like,
it goes pretty quick, though.
That's not worth a 20-30 minute wait.
How long was the wait, Bart?
It was about 20 minutes.
Okay.
How far back did you have to go? How far back did the line go? Did it wrap around the building?
Yeah, but it was only wrapped around one.
Okay.
just
I didn't even know they could wrap around twice.
Yeah, it was from the entrance. They were only using one lane.
Oh
wow.
Okay.
So we would have had about 20-25 minute wait.
Did you do lunch or dinner?
It was dinner. Went grocery shopping for stuff to bake with, and then stopped there on the way home.
Was it worth it?
It was worth it.
All right, we'll have to go on off time.
So they're really good chicken fingers.
They are.
Okay.
All right.
How are their fries?
I like their fries. They're not the best fries I can get. I can list off many other places that they're better at.
So how they rank? Like in the middle or
the fries?
Yeah.
At Raising Cane's?
Yeah, about 7 or 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're
the
not the
cuts,
best,
yeah.
But...
Yeah.
But they're up there.
Yeah. Arthur Treacher's fries are so good.
Oh, yeah, they're killer.
Good, I haven't had those in so long.
Do it. Go. And
dude,
split
Wendy's
split
fries? I hate to say it, we tried the Wendy's fries recently. Oh, they are good.
Are they good?
They changed them again. They're so good.
Man,
they are actually really good.
We should have a fry party. Yeah, everyone buys a different fries, and we can bake them to heat them on the baking sheet to heat them up.
We should do it on Friday because it's fry
God.
Day.
Yeah.
See what I did there.
I'm so proud of you.
So into our roundtable discussion, the Cauga Falls High School Fresh Farm Greenhouse which has been growing microgreens, herbs, and other crops during the winter, have partnered with the Works. So all crops sold to the Works will be featured in menu items. This will allow students to learn about local business experiences that agriculture offers in the area.
Pretty crappy thing.
Nice. Let us all enjoy the veggies together.
And leave it alone.
No.
Oh.
I'm trying to branch out in my different.
Oh!
You're digging in the dirt for more material.
Oh, jeez.
I see what you did there, Jen.
Oh,
nice.
Man.
I dig it. Dig it.
Right. This is going to go on forever, isn't it?
All right. Stop it. I think that's a super awesome because it teaches the kids how to do gardening and grow.
There's roughly 40 students that are enrolled in this class.
That is so awesome. It's a Fresh Farm Greenhouse. Is that the name of the class or is it
in Agra Falls High School Fresh Farm?
Yep. Fresh Farm. Okay.
It said Farm has been incredibly successful over the years, donating thousands of pounds of produce to local pantries such as Good Neighbors in the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank.
Now they can like maybe incorporate it into the, do we still have the dens and have a business piece to it where they're raising money?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do the dens no more. I kind of like them.
Oh, okay. They're gone.
I don't think they do, but they still have the career path.
I wonder how much money they'll raise. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next, the Cuyahoga Falls School District has a new interim superintendent. Russell Shabaudi has been hired as the interim superintendent from January 1st until July 31st. He started, he has 6 days this year that he's been hired on under a consulting contract. School's already on winter break, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're on break now.
I know Kent State is, but I don't know. I'm not sure about Cuyahoga Falls.
They were, so this must just be you are under contract.
You're hired.
You get paid 6 days this year.
Okay. And his name, I don't know how you really pronounce it, but I want to say Shabaudi.
That might be what it is.
Oh, I don't know what it is, but that would be amazing.
So what do we know about him? I mean,
he was a Falls graduate, mm-hmm. and he was superintendent for Coventry Schools before this until he retired in 2017.
So he's coming out of retirement to help limp us along
a year.
You know what, Yuri, graduated from Cuyahoga Falls?
He is a 1974 graduate.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. Okay. A little before my time.
Yeah.
Just.
I was two. Little.
We were not born.
I was negative.
I was
one.
Six.
So
he was in first grade, maybe kindergarten.
First grade.
All right. I love it when I can make people feel old because I don't get to do it very often anymore. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that is before my time. I'm at that age now. You know.
Kathy,
you know
Kathy, how old were you in 1974?
I'd have been 8.
Okay.
Okay.
Old.
We're not going to ask Bart.
Mike. You're out of
whisper that one out there really quietly.
You have to drive over and punch Mike in the arm, right?
I'm going
to
get the pole in my white elephant.
Walk over. We're going to punch him in his double vaccinated arm, and then we're going to
breathe. Yeah.
It'll just fall off.
That would be so awful. Oh.
I'll pinch it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And finally, Cuyahoga Falls and Stowe have partnered to collect toys for the victims of the Mayfield, Kentucky tornado. Both Falls and Stowe City Halls will be accepting new unwrapped gifts for children up to 18 years old until the end of the day Tuesday, after which a volunteer from Stowe will drive the gifts to Kentucky. I can't picture a map in my head, so I actually don't know which direction Kentucky is.
Yeah. Drive down is probably.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Down the hall.
That tornado, the pictures of it is just unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wiped that town off the face of the earth. So
unbelievable. Like nothing. It's just,
Do you know if they determined whether it was an F4 or an F5? I think they were thinking
it was
F4.
F4. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was because it was on the ground so long, too, was the major problem, right?
Where hours? It was like the longest it was ever been. Any tornado.
Yeah, it was like 210 or 220
miles.
220
miles.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that just is.
And that's what, 150 mile an hour sustained winds, I think it is, for a EF4.
Yeah,
was it a slow moving or was it fast moving? Or does it, I mean, I'm not an expert on weather, but it just seemed like it just.
So it was a. I remember I was on the ground for 2 hours and 20 minutes and it went or something like that.
No, I don't know how long it was on the ground for, but it went 220 miles.
Yeah. I'm sure it probably wasn't moving slowly.
No.
It just wiped out that whole town. I mean, you see the pictures of it and the devastation. It's just, I just can't even imagine.
Can't ever get over that candle factory. They wouldn't let anybody leave.
Yeah, for Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon did the same thing. Yeah, where that warehouse collapsed and they wouldn't let people leave. I mean,
I thought some of it was safety. Like, they didn't want them leaving in the middle of the storm, so they had, they were going into a safe space in the Amazon. I didn't hear about in the candle factory. The candle factory, I heard there was like, it was more punitive, but the Amazon, it was about safety. I don't know.
And I know candle factory, they're only making $8 an hour.
Oh, God.
Well, I think I heard the candle factory, and I can't remember where I heard this. I think that they weren't allowed to stop working.
No, they weren't.
Like, if we're at work, we have a place to go. We have a tornado right there. You know?
Yes.
You need to be able to go to safety in your building.
Right.
And
I believe they weren't allowed to stop working, I believe.
Oh, man.
The crazy thing is, I read this is one of the first times in history they have predicted it with 100% accuracy, the tornado, its strength, and its path, and well in advance. So everyone knew it was coming, and they knew it was a fucking tornado, and they still didn't let them go.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, but that's awesome that the mayors are teaming up and and gathering gifts, because I did read the article that they didn't need food and they didn't need clothes, but the Mayfield folks said, can you send Christmas gifts? Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, everything would be wiped out. I mean, so close to the holidays. It's sad. Sad.
I was just reading, I found some stuff about it. They said it was an EF4 with peak winds of 190 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
Man. And the length of the path was an estimated 128 miles is what they're saying here.
And how many hours was it on the ground?
I saw something that said it was moving at 60 miles per hour.
At least 2 hours.
So, yeah, 2 hours, yeah.
60 miles an hour, that's fast for something that big. Yeah. That's wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one had a chance. No. I mean, if you were in the path of it. Well, how about some good news?
Yes.
All right.
What a segue. Jesus.
So Closet of Caring, who we interviewed here on the program when she was just kind of in her infancy of her program, she basically collects items and stuff for the homeless population and usually around Akron area, that kind of places. But she had a toy drive in Cuyahoga Falls, and it was held at the what's that building called, guys?
The pavilion down there?
The pavilion. She
did it at the pavilion. But yeah.
You know, yeah, the one that's
downtown,
the building right there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I forget that.
And they had 14 community partners who hosted drop boxes. 300 children were able to get gifts that morning. And I think I read somewhere that they were out of toys within an hour or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was 1,832 items that were collected.
Wow.
Yeah. And Santa showed up, so they were able to take pictures with Santa. So, yeah. Sound like a very successful event. I mean, you know, I'm impressed. I mean, to have that kind of idea and for that to happen this quick, I mean, I'm not even sure if she's in a year of her organization yet or not, but it was a good event, and I'm glad that people showed up and it went well. So,
Santa was played by her husband.
Shh. Kids aren't supposed to know that. It's real Santa.
I don't think kids are.
This is an adult podcast.
Well, it's true. So I mean, if the kids are listening to this,
it's not PG-13. Maybe it's PG-13 sometimes.
That's a really good point. If you're letting your kids listen to this, then, you know.
But you're a bad parent.
Really? I can imagine 5-year-olds running to their parents. When's the Fallscast going to be on, Mommy and Daddy? I want to watch it. I hate Alex.
What's a phallic symbol?
So I know there's no Bard's Art, so I can't sing my song, which is sad.
Yeah. All I can say for Bard's Art is we're going to hold off the week of Christmas, so we won't be back until after the new year.
No.
So everybody should check out what's happening local, what kind of, you know, if you are going to go out New Year's Eve, that is, you know, if the city hasn't decided to completely quarantine by then, that could still happen. You know, check out local music around the area.
I do have a shameless plug. Some of my art is for sale.
Yeah, shameless
plug. Some of my art is for sale at Nosh. Some of my framed artwork.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that could be ours. But, you know, we could also sing There's No Bart's Art. There's No Bart's Art. You can
No
do that.
Bart's Art. No Bart's Art.
No Bart's Art.
I hope everyone has a happy holiday. Whether or not you're sharing with your family or not, please be safe. and make sure that you are not gathering in large events, because we love all of our listeners and we do not want anybody to get sick with this.
And besides, we can't afford to lose any more listeners.
We can't.
That was shamelessly selfish, but at least we're trying to.
Yes, it is all about us, right?
Yeah. Stay alive so you can listen.
Keep listening.
Yeah. Yes. But I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday. I mean, my daughter is in Japan, so I don't get to see her. But my other daughter's home, so I get to spend time with her. How about everybody else? What are your guys' plans?
Well, my mom's hosting, and then our son's fiance's grandmas are coming over for Christmas, so that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they'll decide not to come because of the Omicron. But if they have testing, or if we can have all the kids test who aren't boosted, maybe they'll come. I don't know. So kind of up in the air. But we're going to go to my mom's.
I'm making sweet potato casserole. And I'm making roasted Brussels sprouts with balsamic and honey glaze.
You know, you've talked about these Brussels sprouts that I have yet to be able to taste. So I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, maybe we can have them on Friday fries. Fries and sprouts.
Yes.
What about you, Kathy? What are you doing?
Christmas Day, Patrick will be with his dad and I will be home alone.
No, you're not. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll send Mike over.
That's what we do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Mike will come over and call you old and leave.
But it's weird.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll
stand out the door and just be like, old.
Merry Christmas.
Here's a six-pack of beer.
Yeah.
I was just thinking you could put him to work or something.
I don't mind. We do our stuff ahead of time.
What about you, Bart?
Yeah, I'll be spending it with my family and just basically we'll just all hide out at the house and watch A Christmas Story.
Oh, okay. Is that your tradition?
Bart looks like
usually,
you have a really long commute to go over there, too.
I know.
Well, technically, he does have to go over the river and through the woods.
Through the woods?
Oh, that's just saying. It's true. That is true. Aww. To grandmother's house we go.
Well, it's not grandmother's house, but...
Again, I hope everybody has a happy holidays. I guess we'll see you after Christmas and...
Yeah, well, let's figure out our plan for trying to get together COVID-free.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a Merry Christmas, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Later.
All right, we're back on the Fallscast, and we are here with Jesse Keller, the owner-operator of Iron Ink Tattoo on North Haven Boulevard in Cuyahoga Falls. Jesse, thank you for joining me.
Of course, thank you for having me.
And of course, I'm saying thank you for joining me, but I'm actually joining you because I'm here in your shop getting a tattoo. So with the people who are listening, they're hearing the buzz. That's me getting stuck with a million needles. But I thought this would be a cool way to do it because I've been coming to you now since the summertime and been getting some work done here. And while I won't be revealing it to the listeners, just because it's not done yet, I am glad to be able to do it this way because I think it's kind of cool. And how often do you hear an interview with somebody while they're getting tattooed, right?
That's a first for me, for sure.
Actually, I'm the one getting tattooed. So how often do you hear somebody getting interviewed by the person they're giving a tattoo to? So I usually like to start these conversations out just by kind of getting a general background. And of course, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about with regard to tattoos and Cuyahoga Falls and all that stuff. But why don't you tell us a little bit about like where you're from, like where you grew up, and then how you ended up getting into tattooing?
I'm from Portage County. I'm actually out from like the Rootstown area. Was born out there, lived in Kent for a little bit, ended up moving to Talmadge, and that's where I graduated from high school.
And you're a youngin. What year was graduating from high school?
2010.
My goodness. Yep. Okay.
I'll be 30 next month.
Oh my god.
January 2022. I will be 30.
All right.
But yeah, I've been tattooing for about I've been tattooing for about 8 years now total, full time. I got into it because I actually started going to Kent State for graphic design, and while I was at Kent State, I became friends with an artist who owned a shop out there in Kent, and started getting a bunch of work from him, and started doing some graphic design stuff for him, shirts and stickers and things like that. And we had developed a pretty good friendship, and one day I was there at the studio, and he asked me if I wanted to learn how to tattoo.
Now, didn't you have a professor at Kent State who, like, tried to steer you away from tattooing or something like that?
Not exactly steering me away from tattooing. I was going for graphic design, and, you know, I consider myself a relatively strong illustrator. I don't draw as much as I really probably should. Drawing and painting, but usually I'm busy, you know, getting ready for tattoo designs and things like that. But in college, I was going for graphic design, and the illustrator professors actually kind of pulled me aside and kind of struck up a deal for me in terms of leaving graphic design and going exclusively into illustration. So I don't even know if really any of them knew that I even was working on becoming a tattoo artist. Or I think that may have even happened before I was officially learning how to tattoo. But I stuck with the graphic design ultimately and ended up getting my degree, but I had dropped down to part-time in order to pursue tattooing and to go through my apprenticeship.
Well, talk to us about your apprenticeship. Where did you do that?
It was a little shop that technically doesn't exist anymore, but it was called Rubber City Tattoo. It was right there in Kent, just off of 43, right near like Haymaker Parkway, where the old police station used to be. The owner of that shop, well, he became the owner of the shop and he changed the name, but his name is Alex Barba, and he is the owner actually of Black Sheep Tattoo, which is now in Ravenna. So he is the guy that taught me how to tattoo.
So talk to us about that process. Like, you know, once one decides they want to become a tattoo artist, presumably they're already a pretty good, you know, artist just in general. Like, you got to be able to draw well if you want to tattoo somebody, right? But once you decide, okay, I'm going to do this, how long is the apprenticeship? You know, do you seek out artists, or do they put out ads that they're interested in helping, or how's that all work?
Some of that stuff kind of seems to be on like a artist, you know, artist on artist kind of, like, there's not really like a dead set kind of like rule. You know, you think of like an apprenticeship for like carpentry or plumbing, you know, there's a lot of times I think there's certain courses and certain things that, you know, kind of like benchmarks almost. Whereas an apprenticeship can range a little bit just depending on who your mentor is. Generally, they're anywhere, I'd say, from about a year, year and a half, to sometimes upwards of 3-4 years. Again, it really depends on who's teaching you and, you know, what type of tattooing that you're learning. My apprenticeship was about 13 or 14 months total. And a lot of times, I feel like some shops definitely seek out apprentices. You know, they're looking to expand. You know, they're wanting to introduce another person into their shop. So, yes, shops do advertise apprentices. That does happen. A lot of times it can kind of also happen organically, kind of like how it happened with me. So there's kind of a lot of different ways that, you know, you can go about it. But, yeah, we don't necessarily put out, like, you know, wanted postings on, you know, Craigslist or something like that, you know, looking for somebody to come apprentice. A lot of times it's almost kind of done from kind of within folks that we know, or, you know, you get to know somebody and you realize that they're artistic and they're interested in tattooing. Sometimes they'll be just offered, you know, an apprenticeship. But even just recently, I had somebody contact me who was looking for an apprenticeship. Her and her partner, I believe, was an artist up in like the Cleveland area, and she was interested in learning and getting into the industry. So I'm not, you know, in any place right now ready to have an apprentice myself personally, but I still had her come in and I talked to her for a little bit and kind of gave her some advice as to, you know, the steps, or, you know, a good way of kind of getting in and finding a good fit somewhere that she could get an apprenticeship started.
Yeah. So it's not like where companies like, you know, use internships for cheap labor or something like that?
It can be sometimes. Not in terms of necessarily. I mean, it should never be where you're like, you know, taking advantage of an apprentice. There should be a mutual like, hey, come work here, you know, help us learn how to run the shop, learn how to, you know, keep everything nice and clean and organized and make stencils and help, you know, do paperwork and things like that. You know, some of the busy work and some of the shop work stuff, you know, takes kind of the load off of the artists, you know, with an apprentice being there and helping. You know, in exchange, you know, you do some labor here at the shop and for exchange of actually learning the trade.
Yeah. And what an interesting trade it is. In some ways it feels, when you go into a tattoo shop, like a punk rock doctor's office. You know, I mean, it's like there's a very like medical quality to this whole thing. Does that freak you out when you first start tattooing? I mean, like, you know, you're going to be putting needles in people, like, are you nervous about it the first time, or?
I mean, the premise, you know, of the job is the same every day, but the variables do change a little bit, you know, from person to person. You know, I can do the same exact tattoo on you and, you know, as 20 other people, and, you know, some of them are going to be more difficult to do, some are going to be easier, you know, they're all going to heal different ways. So, you know, it's really just depending on the skin type and, you know, how well the person sits and location of the body. But it can be a little intimidating. Yeah, you just have to make sure that you're paying attention and that, you know, you have all your ducks in a row. And luckily you do it enough times. You know, you do it thousands of times a year in terms of getting your booth set up and, you know, making sure your supplies are ready. And there's a process to it. But once you develop a really good, you know, system, it kind of becomes second nature. Luckily, most studios use a lot of single-use products. So, you know, in terms of sterilization, it's mainly kind of doing like a cold sterilization and wiping down and cleaning things like the armrest and the table and chair and things like that. But even those things usually have additional barriers to where you throw them away and then we're able to cold sanitize. So it's relatively easy to make sure everything's, you know, as safe and as clean as we can make it, because so much of it doesn't get used ever again.
Yeah. All right, how am I doing so far?
In terms of getting your tattoo?
Yeah.
Doing just fine?
It's not my first rodeo. So I imagine people will want to hear, like, what the, like, craziest stuff you've done is. And I do want to get to that, because you've told me some stuff before, but I guess I kind of want to know, like, what are some misconceptions about tattooing? I mean, what are some of the things that you're surprised, you know, to hear people say they think tattooing is like, or things that they think about tattooing that aren't really true? Can you think of any of that kind of stuff?
I feel like people sometimes, especially if it's your first time, I mean, obviously you really don't have anything to compare it to, and you have no idea what it's really going to feel like, or, you know, how it's going to heal. I personally remember when I got my very first tattoo, you know, the artist kind of gave me aftercare instructions and explained to me what to expect. And, you know, it got dry and scabby just like any tattoo will. And that was back even before we used any type of additional bandages or anything like that. And I remember it was like probably the third or fourth day I got in the shower and it seemed like my tattoo was like almost falling off. You know, the scabs were flaking and peeling, and I remember being really freaked out about that because I thought that, like, I was essentially washing my tattoo away. So that's something, you know, people worry about. They get something, you know, kind of scabby or flaky, and they're so worried about, you know, am I doing something wrong? Am I overwashing it? Or I always tell people that just to try to think of it as a scrape. You know, tattoos are really just kind of a scratch or a scrape. They're pretty superficial. They're not very deep. So, you know, your body knows what to do, and the only reason why it looks so much different or kind of weird is because there's the addition of the pigment, you know, to where, you know, if you cut yourself, obviously it's just your body healing it, and there's no, you know, foreign body or anything additional in that wound. But with tattooing, you know, we introduce this pigment and color, and that's where it kind of gets funny. But, you know, if you're patient with it and, you know, keep it clean and hydrated, your body will know what to do.
And nowadays, like in the old days, old days to me, I'm sure there are some listeners who will laugh at me saying old days, and will remember the way things were even before this. But first tattoos I ever got, you know, they really would just finish the tattoo and then they kind of like, you know, put plastic wrap over the area and tape it down, and then it would inevitably like come loose and then you would get that scabbing. But now you guys use that stuff that they put on people's hands and stuff whenever they get like an IV. What's that stuff called?
It's called Tegaderm. Tegaderm or Sanoderm. Those are kind of the main kind of name brand bandages that a lot of artists use. Yeah, it's just it's an antimicrobial breathable bandage that is applied over the wound. And yeah, it's essentially it is the exact same thing that you would see in a hospital that is used to hold like an IV in place. It's the clear kind of stretchy adhesive bandage. And not everybody opts for that. Some people still like to heal it, you know, the old way, if you will. You know, we kind of call it like a dry heal, or, you know, or just don't have it bandaged. If the tattoo is small enough and simple enough, you don't really have to worry about it too much. But using additional like bandages and skin guards, you know, definitely help kind of expedite the healing process and keep it safe.
Yeah. So some years back, there was a really popular show that was like a reality show that took place in a tattoo studio. And there were like, there might have been a couple of these shows actually. And there were like certain tattoo artists who got really famous. I remember in one episode seeing like somebody who was kind of learning like tattooing like a piece of like pig skin or something like that. Is that a misconception, or is that something they actually do?
Again, that kind of just is dependent on who is teaching you how to tattoo. That kind of goes back to, you know, who your mentor is. That is something that happens, yes. Sometimes artists will tattoo oranges, I believe, oranges, grapefruits. I have seen pigskin. There's actually a place out in Mogador, a butcher, that you can actually purchase skin there, and, you know, you can practice, because it's similar to human skin. In my apprenticeship, I never did any of that. Mine was just kind of straight to skin. I mostly my mentor's friends and, you know, some of my friends and family, you know, kind of some guinea pigs, folks that knew that they weren't going to get the best tattoo in the world, but it was a free tattoo. So, you know, and people kind of like the pride of, you know, saying that, you know, oh, I have one of your very first tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, and I always tell those folks, I'm like, you know, I will cover up or fix those for free. Like, you just let me know when you're ready. You know, and they go, oh, no way, man, this was like your 10th tattoo. You know, a lot of people that I've tattooed, they even remember like the exact number. So I'm very thankful and lucky for those folks that were willing to, you know, let me learn and, you know, try out some new stuff on their skin.
Yeah. So you're located down here on North Haven Boulevard, right at the corner of Portage Trail in this old shopping center, across from like the martial arts place. How long have you been here now?
Yeah, I always tell folks we're just right across the street from where the new fire station is.
Mm-hmm.
Where the big, what was that building called? What people used to nickname that building that they tore down?
The cake building.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, right across from where that was. I've been here since the middle of February of 2021. So we're coming up on a year of being open. So that's very exciting.
So you opened during COVID.
Correct.
Now, how did that affect, I mean, I guess maybe you don't know, you were working in a shop before, so how did COVID affect your business?
I would say that I feel like indirectly it actually benefited, maybe not even indirectly, maybe directly. There was a period of time, you know, we were shut down, as, you know, many other places were closed as well, closed for about 2 months. And there was still kind of that weird gray area where some things weren't open and they were trying to figure out, you know, what was safe in terms of gathering and, you know, what wasn't and all that good stuff. And people had to cancel vacations and, you know, they ended up working from home and they realized they had more flexibility in their schedules. And so people had more money. They were getting their stimulus checks. So in terms of tattooing, you know, again, there was a period of time where it was about all you could do. So we actually were pretty busy, and even just being closed the 2 months, you know, people were kind of chomping at the bit to maybe have a little taste of some normalcy. So it actually worked out pretty well. And in terms of opening a business, you know, it was because of the shutdowns and because, you know, things were a little interesting and kind of uncertain, you know, as they are a little bit still. You know, there were a lot of properties available and they were relatively affordable because landlords wanted people to be in there. And the city has been very welcoming and receptive. And, you know, from the very first email, even where I contacted the city and asked permission to open a new tattoo studio, you know, they've kind of welcomed me with open arms. And it's been a very good experience.
Do you happen to know how many tattoo parlors there are in Cuyahoga Falls?
I did a little bit of research on that before I opened my own, just because I didn't want to be, you know, too close to other folks, and I wanted to try to be as respectful as I could of, you know, where other studios were. And from my understanding, from what I've seen, I would take a guess and say there's probably about 7 or 8 total within Cuyahoga Falls.
How is being in Cuyahoga Falls different from where you were before?
I came from a shop in West Akron. That's where I spent the last 5 years of my career. I can't say that it's really too much different from where I came from. I wanted to still be relatively close to the Akron area. It's my understanding that Akron has even more studios than, you know, Cuyahoga Falls. Cuyahoga Falls, though, I lived here for a while briefly when I was an adult, and I really liked it. You know, I like how much the area has kind of been built up. And, you know, in terms of commerce, it seems like there's a lot going on. Portage Trail, obviously, is a really big thoroughfare. You know, we're kind of tucked up here in this little corner, you know, in a plaza kind of off of Portage, just a hair. So we don't really have very good frontage. But, you know, with the benefit of, you know, with Google, that doesn't really give us any trouble at all. So it was affordable. I had lived here before, so I was familiar with the area. I like being close to the restaurants and things like that. You know, it's nice for clients even to be able to, you know, run down the road or to get, you know, Grubhub or something like that delivered to the shop. So I feel like it was a good just kind of central area in terms of near, you know, Akron and Cleveland.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of those crazy things, because everybody probably asks you this. I'm guessing if you go to a party and tell people you're a tattoo artist, they first of all go, "What? No way." Just kidding. And then the next thing they ask you is like, "Well, what's the craziest tattoo you've ever done?" Or maybe they ask you, "Have you ever had to like tattoo someone in a private area or something like that?" So what are some of those crazy tattoos and things like that that you've had to do?
Well, I feel like I can speak for a lot of tattoo artists, hopefully, when I say this, is that, you know, we actually kind of dread social gatherings or even, you know, parties or going to the bar or anything. There's a lot of times where someone finds out we're a tattoo artist. You know, we kind of get stuck having to listen to their, you know, 45-minute spiel as to what they may want as a tattoo. And sometimes 9 times out of 10, we never see that person ever again. You know, you can give them a business card. You can tell them exactly where you are. And sometimes, you know, people just kind of want to bounce ideas off you. And so, you know, it can be a little taxing sometimes where it's like, "Hey, man, I'm just trying to have a beer. You know, let's talk about something else. We don't need to be talking about tattoos right now. We can do that at the shop." But it is cool. It's a cool profession and people are really interested in it. So, you know, it is definitely a good talking point. And I still try to always, you know, at least listen to what folks are telling me about. And yeah, people do. I mean, people spend most time usually kind of asking me on pricing and like, "Oh, what if I got this? How much would this be?" And then the conversation does sometimes kind of grow to, you know, "What's the craziest one you've done?" Or, you know, "What's the craziest part of the body?" And a lot of times those stories are kind of told here while I'm tattooing. I don't really consider any tattoo that I've ever done to be anything super crazy, in terms of like, you know, location. One that really sticks out to me is when I had first started tattooing, and I was like fresh out of my apprenticeship, and I had a walk-in that came in. He was an older guy and he had a beard. He had a really big, you know, like kind of like the handlebar mustache, and he had some pretty impressive facial hair, and he was bald. And he came in and he had a Superman logo that was on the back of his head. It was already there. And he wanted me to kind of bring it back to life because it was older. And then he wanted me to put a beard on the Superman logo. So I haven't seen the man since. I don't know if he's been back to that studio or, you know, if he's gotten tattooed there since, because I haven't, you know, been there in years. But he, you know, there should be a man walking around out there somewhere with a Superman logo with a beard on it. It's kind of one of the craziest requests that I've ever had.
Wow. Okay. Is there anything you won't do?
Yeah, there are definitely some things that I won't do. You know, anything that's, you know, like hate related or, you know, I mean, obviously like your typical like swastika tattoos, and we're going to stay far away from something like that. You know, even I have a hard time with, you know, even tattooing like Confederate flags. If somebody wants that incorporated in there, you know, I always try to steer them the route of like, well, let's do an American flag. Like, we don't really need to have Confederate flag in there. You know, I'll kind of jokingly give them a hard time and say, you know, hey, we're in Ohio. Like, we don't even need to be affiliating with, you know, that. And that's something that I feel like personally that doesn't really need to be incorporated in tattoos. I'd rather focus on, you know, making it more of a truly kind of patriotic thing and introducing an American flag. People are pretty receptive about that. Nobody's really given me too much grief on it. So, yeah, I would say those are definitely, you know, things that I won't do. In terms of body parts, I say I would tattoo just about anything. You know, I've heard debates from artists to where it's like, you know, some artists will say, well, I won't tattoo your hands or face, you know, if you don't have any other tattoos. And, you know, then there's other artists that say, you know, well, who am I to, you know, make that call? But a lot of times, you know, in terms of like a more of a visible spot or, you know, a little bit more of a like less common area, you know, I do kind of try to assess that, you know, case by case. And, you know, it's one of those things, if somebody already has one hand tattoo, you know, who am I to not give them your other hand tattoo? But that's, you know, kind of segueing into what we even talked about a little bit earlier, that, you know, tattoos are definitely becoming a lot more common and accepted. So yeah, there's less of a stigma kind of with like certain areas of the body.
Right.
For sure.
Well, let's talk about that stigma. Do you think that that people still sort of feel that way? Have you heard much about that? I mean, it does seem as though kind of everybody has tattoos these days, and you can go into a very professional workplace and see somebody, you know, when they roll up their sleeves, they've got, you know, they're covered, both arms are covered in tattoos. What are your thoughts on all of that, and how has it been sort of brought to bear on, you know, you as a tattoo artist?
Well, you know, again, I'm also young. I've only been getting tattooed for probably about, oh, geez, I think my first tattoo was 18. So what, that's been about 12 years ago. I feel like even in this last 10-year span, you know, they've definitely become a lot more accepted. You know, maybe not necessarily accepted, but more of like, in terms of, you know, employers and things like that, they're so popular now that employers can't really be so picky and choosy. And you're right, there's definitely a lot of people that I know personally that I've tattooed, or even that I've known even before I tattooed, that, you know, when they're wearing a shirt and tie, you know, you can't even tell they have anything. But yeah, you roll your sleeves up and, you know, you have a lot of forearm tattoos and things like that. You know, more visible tattoos are definitely more of the norm now. And again, I'm not talking like hands or face or anything necessarily, but, you know, wrists and forearms, things like that. You know, my mom, she's an attorney. She has quite a few tattoos and a lot on her forearms. You know, she's able to, you know, cover them up with, you know, a suit and all that good stuff for trial. But, you know, she's got quite a few. I think she even surprises a lot of her attorney friends, you know, when they realize just how many she has, you know, like when she's in her office or something and, you know, doesn't have her jacket on.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, more people of all ages are definitely more cool with them. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more streamlined, a lot more popular. You know, there's pros and cons to that. But in terms of, for the general population and employment, or even just, you know, people not passing judgment, it's definitely good that it's a lot more popular now.
Yeah. There are some very specialized types of tattooing out there. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that. I mean, you know, for instance, like women might want to get eyeliner tattooed on. There's a thing called microblading, which I believe is a process that's essentially tattooing that like will kind of like shape a woman's eyebrows. There are cancer patients who, you know, lose both breasts and then get implants and need to have their nipples like tattooed on. Can you talk about those processes? And can just any, I mean, I think I already know the answer, but can just any tattoo artist do those kinds of things?
Yeah, personally, I don't know a ton about some of those. You know, I've never done microblading. I've never tattooed somebody's makeup on, because you're right, and I know that you already know the answer, is that a lot of that, yes, regular tattoo artists can do, but we actually would still need to go and actually take courses, I believe, in almost like from like a beautician school. There's actually like additional coursework that you would have to go and do. You'd have to be certified in those because they're considered, while tattooing, I think, kind of falls under the realm of, you know, it obviously falls under the realm of cosmetic, but something like that is a true, you know, falls under actual cosmetology because it's borderline, you know, kind of in that area of makeup. And those are important things that you really need to know what you're doing in terms of if you're tattooing somebody's lipstick on or their eyeshadow. Personally, those are things that I choose to stay far, far away from because I have watched my fiance do her makeup in the mirror, and she's been doing it her whole life, and it still drives her absolutely crazy, and she feels like it's not perfect. So I feel like as a man who's never doesn't know anything about makeup, I will let someone else, you know, go ahead and tattoo that stuff on people's faces.
Yeah.
Now, for things like, you know, breast cancer survivors, it's also a little bit more of a specialized thing. I can't think of anybody's names off the top of my head. There are a few artists that I follow that are on Instagram that are very, very talented that kind of do more of a, I would say more of kind of a realism, a color realism. Style of tattooing to where they actually essentially recreate nipples to where, you know, they look as realistic as they can be, but they're actually still just it's flat, you know, tattoo over where they existed. And that's very important because, you know, I feel like it kind of helps. Again, it's hard for me to really truly speak on how this makes anybody feel because as a man, but I would imagine from talking to other, you know, female clients who have, you know, gone through that and have had their breasts removed, that, you know, it almost kind of helps them return to a little bit more of like a normalcy, or, you know, you're just familiar with, you know, seeing, you know, nipples. I mean, everybody has nipples. So it's definitely a really nice way to kind of maybe help somebody have confidence or to, you know, feel like they're kind of back to, you know, normal, if you will. And but that doesn't require any additional training per se. You know, there are definitely it's definitely challenging. You definitely still have to know what you're doing. And maybe there is something additional that, you know, those specific artists have done or learned. But that's also something that, you know, I don't really think that I would ever try to tackle unless maybe I was actually formally trained in it.
Right.
You know, I've done tattoos where it's a mastectomy, correct? I think when the breast is removed.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client, you know, she had a double mastectomy, and she actually opted to do more of like kind of like an ornamental, like floral kind of design on her breasts rather than going the route of just kind of like reconstructing like the look of a nipple. So that's also a common thing too. You know, people actually get just large tattoos over their breasts, and you know, it's kind of a way to cover the scars and things like that.
Yeah. Interesting. We always ask people the same question at the end of the interview. Well, I've been doing this anyway, and we did this when we worked with everybody in city council. I like to say it's the hardest question that you're going to get asked. So are you ready for it?
I think so.
Okay. What is the best restaurant in Cuyahoga Falls?
Ooh, man. Woo. That's the hardest question we've answered all night. You're right. Well, I lived here for probably about 2 years. And then now that I work here, I've been here for about a year. I still haven't ventured out a ton. There are still a lot of places that I have yet to try. So I may not be the best, you know, person to answer this, but I can at least give you a couple of my favorites.
All right.
I really, really like Shawarma Brothers, which is right down here on Portage Trail. It's like a half a block from the tattoo shop. I could walk there if I wanted to. They are awesome. Very, very nice people. My fiance really loves their pickled or relished vegetables that you add on to the meals. So we really like Shawarma Brothers. In terms of breakfast, I'm a really big fan of Molly Brown's.
Molly Brown's.
Yeah, that's on State Road, right?
Yeah.
Just and around the corner from here, too.
One of the things I love about that place is that they make a lot of stuff from scratch. They make their own coleslaw. They make their own salad dressings. That, to me, goes a long way.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's kind of almost like a kind of Mexican food kind of infused with, like, breakfast food, a lot of it, right?
Hmm.
Like, from what I've seen, I mean, I went there probably a couple months ago. I had some, like, chorizo, like, omelet or burrito, and it was delicious.
Wow.
So I really do like Molly Brown's. For sushi, we like, what is that right there? Is that Ichabod?
Oh, yeah, the place.
Where the Dunkin' Donuts was?
Was it a Dunkin'? It wasn't a Dunkin'. It was like a...
I thought it was an old Dunkin' Donuts.
It was like a North Hill Donuts or something like that. Maybe it was Dunkin' and then something else, Donuts, and then... Yeah, now it's a sushi place.
Yeah, so they're awesome. I would recommend that sounds kind of weird, but they have a avocado mango roll, which is really, really good. And then their sweet potato roll is also delicious.
I love the sweet potato. And I get made fun of for saying that my favorite sushi is sweet potato because it's not sushi, but whatever.
Well, yeah.
I don't care.
You're right. It's not, but it's still delicious.
It sure is.
Yep. So, I mean, those three places I really, really like. There's a few other spots that I haven't had a chance to try yet, so yeah, there's probably still a lot of other good things out there, but I like those three for sure.
Right on. All right, well, it's been our pleasure to talk to Jesse Keller from Iron Ink Tattoo here on North Haven Boulevard in Cuyahoga Falls to undo some of the stigma of tattooing, put to bed some misconceptions, and find out where you like to eat so we can stalk you and ask you about tattoos.
I'll just hand you a card and walk away.
Fair enough, man. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.